Morning is entitled Lost in Love. Do we have PowerPoint? We do. Lost in love with Jesus. And our 3 points. Loving Jesus enough to give him all our material possessions. It's not happening. Loving Jesus enough to ignore what others say or think. And loving Jesus enough to die for him. Hopefully, those are the 3 points that I will get covered in the message. We Christians, looking at point one, loving Jesus enough to give up all our material possessions. We believe in baptism by immersion. In other words, that a person has to be totally immersed in the water when they're baptized. That's one of our tenets of faith that we believe in. And we've always had kind of a joke in our midst that if you're baptizing someone, make sure their wallet is in their pocket. You get it? Because if you baptize their wallet, then you get their offerings and their tithes. So we're going to be talking about loving Jesus enough to give up all our material possessions. Has your wallet been baptized? Are we faithful in giving offerings and tithes? Luke 19, 1 through 10. Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." I did not realize that the print would be so small. I don't know if you folks can read it in your seats or not, but I need to be told these things because I'm just learning this, and if I have to make bigger print, then I need to do that. The city of Jericho was actually the winter capital for the kingdom. So there were a lot of people there. It was full of travelers. And now Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to give his life for us when he stops here in Jericho and stops under the tree where Zacchaeus has gone up. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. They hated them. Tax collectors worked for the Roman government, taking taxes from the Jewish people. You know how you feel about the IRS, but the Jews hated the tax collectors even more. And, of course, the tax collectors, they would get what the Roman government said to get, but they oftentimes would take more. They would pad their pockets. And so there was double reasons why the people hated them. Zacchaeus, it says, was a little bitty man. And here we have all these crowds of people, and he knows Jesus is going to be passing this way. But there's no way he's going to be able to see him, and he knows that. And you can be sure that all of this crowd that any of them that know him are not going to let him get through because they don't like him. So he's running, trying to get on ahead, and he just climbs up in a tree. He is a man of great wealth, the Bible says. So he has a social standing. But it's interesting that he is willing to lay aside his social standing and run and climb the tree. So many times we just let our pride in what we think someone might think of us stop us from getting a touch from Jesus. Note that, I pray. Jesus told him when he came under the tree, he looked up, he said, come down, you must stay. I must stay at your house. Jesus didn't ask him, how would you like it if I told you I'm coming to your place tonight for supper? I mean, you know, we don't do that. They didn't do it there either. You know, it was a special thing to eat at someone's house, to break bread with them. That was not a light thing. And Jesus invited himself, but Zacchaeus, he was very willing to have Jesus come to his house, and he got down out of the tree and welcomed him to his house. The crowd didn't like it. They complained. He's going to eat with a sinner. Do you realize when you criticize and complain about others, that makes you as bad as them? You know, yes, he was a sinner, but with them criticizing him made them sinners too, right? When Jesus accepted Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus got lost in love. You know, he was close to being lost in love when he just threw aside his pride and everything and ran and climbed the tree. But coming down and accepting Jesus into his home, he's lost in love. He's lost in love. And he says he's willing to give up pretty much of his wealth because of his love now for Jesus. Half of it to the poor. And then he'd pay back those he had cheated four times the amount that he took. And let's face it, that was not going to be a short list because he's been collecting taxes for some time. So this guy is loving Jesus enough give up material possessions. Have you ever thought how you would feel if everything you had was taken in a tornado or a fire? I don't say flood because many of us live on higher ground, but I've given that thought sometimes, and sometimes I've even prayed, God, don't let me ever care more about this stuff than my relationship with you. Loving Jesus enough to give up our material possessions or to see them gone and still maintain our love for him. If we're lost in love for Jesus, we would be willing, wouldn't we? Loving him enough to give up material possessions. Number two, loving Jesus enough to ignore what others say or think. Zacchaeus responded to the crowd calling him a sinner because he knew he was. But right off quick, he's changing that. He's trying to make amends. We know when Jesus saves us, he is the one that saves us. We can't make amends for the life we've lived. His blood covers that. But whatever in our life that we've done sinful that we can make amends for, we need to do that. And so Zacchaeus did that. And you know, it goes on good with point two because he didn't care what the crowd said. That didn't bother him. And this next story is about a lady who would not be drawn or driven away from Jesus no matter what was said or thought about her. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." They don't realize it, Mary and Martha, Lazarus, their brother, but time is short. He's on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to his death. What a joy it must have been to Jesus to have this time with people that were dear to him. You know how much it means to you to share time with people that you love and that love you back. So this was a good, special time. But how often are we busy for Jesus and neglecting to stop at his feet and worship him? It's very easy to get too busy in church work and things that we feel we're doing for God and leave the time of sitting at his feet, not paying attention to him. And Martha has become self-righteous with all she's doing, and that's easy to happen too. "Well, I'm doing so much, you know. Come on, where's everybody else?" She asked Jesus, "Don't you care, Lord? Here I am doing everything." And you know, I thought Martha was lost in love for Jesus, but she was lost in trying to do everything. So we have to be careful when we're in love with the Lord and we're working for him, and I'm talking to me, not to get too busy to sit at his feet, not to get too busy that we're not praying, that we're not reading our word the way we should. We have to be so careful about that. And often, you know, we're apt to say, "Why am I the only one that's doing anything? Seems like I'm the only one that's doing anything." No, I don't feel that way, folks. I'm just saying that sometimes we hear that in the church. People that are workers in the church, they feel like, "Why doesn't someone else step up? Why doesn't someone else help?" And that's the way Martha felt. Come on. You know, all of this has got to be done if we're going to make it really nice for Jesus while he's here. You know, come on, tell Mary to help me out. And the Lord told her, Mary had chosen the better way. A point for us to consider in this story is that Mary loved the Lord enough to ignore what people would say or think. And that, I think, we have to face over and over again. Because you come into a church service, and you know the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart to go to the altar, and you won't go and get something straightened out between you and the Lord, you're letting what people think or what they might say separate you from having his blessing. We have to be very careful that we love him enough that it doesn't matter what people say or think of us. I have to love Jesus enough that it isn't going to matter what anyone's going to say about me or to me. I've got to love him enough to let that be and keep my mind and my heart on him. And that goes for you too. And it's a constant thing because the enemy tries to get us to be too prideful, to be too self-centered, to be too much looking for ourselves to look good. that sometimes we don't enter in and let God have his way. And I know I'm not getting any amens, but I do know that it's true. We need to love him enough that we'll ignore what people say or think and put Jesus first. Put him first. And you know what? They didn't know that their time was short with Jesus. And many of us live like we do not realize our time is short with Jesus. We need to be doing what we're going to do now. If you're waiting for a brighter day when you think you could maybe do more later on next year or something, forget it. Because he could come today, this moment, this moment. He's ready to come. Our time is short to be paying attention to him, loving him, and ignoring what others say and think. That's important. And point three, loving Jesus enough to die for him. Now you might think that's kind of far out because we're probably not going to be challenged with giving our life physically for him. Not yet anyway. According to the Bible, the time might come then that is something that we're faced with. But what we're talking about now is spiritually dying. Spiritually dying to self. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 11. That would help if I go to 2 Corinthians, not first. Verses 6 through 11. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. And you'll find many times in Paul's writing, he is addressing our mortal body because there was many beliefs in that area at that time that your spirit is what mattered and didn't matter what you did with your body. So many of them were living ungodly body lives and thinking only your spirit is what counts. So he stresses many of his writings about this. What we do with our body represents Christ. This body of clay that he honors us by living in. He wants this body in everything it does to represent him. We do. We represent him to the world. Everything you do with your body. That's a sobering thought. That's a very sobering thought. I have prayed at times for men. I've never had the opportunity to pray for women who admitted to being in pornography. And one man said that this truth, what he did with his body, showed what he was with Christ. And it set him free to live a Christian life. And I share that with you so you realize how important this is when Jesus, we have this from Paul in these scriptures. We have the glory of God, the light of Jesus Christ shining in us. We who are earthen vessels, bodies made of clay, we have the treasure of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living in us and through us. We, like Paul, have to face trials of life. Our trials in life are not like his were, but they're still trials. There are times we're afflicted, we're crushed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, possibly abandoned by some. And like Paul, we can say, not driven to despair, we're not forsaken, we're not destroyed, because our love for Jesus keeps us from being destroyed. Loving him enough that we're willing to die to self so that he can live through us. It's a daily dying. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. It's a spiritual death, but it's a death, and you all know it. When you have to give up your own way, you have to give up your own selfish thoughts, your own selfish wants and desires, because you love Jesus and you know he wants you to. He wants you to love him enough that you're willing not to have to have your own way about anything. And that's a dying, a constant dying. Are you loving Jesus enough to die to self? And it's a bug. I did good, didn't I, honey? Get rid of it. He says, I hope she doesn't call me up there to take care of that. Romans 8, verses 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. It is not to our sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's up to us to put to death the misdeeds, the things you do, your actions, that are led by your own Adamic nature, your own nature, human nature, sinful nature. You put them aside. We can only do this by the help of the Holy Spirit in us. We'll only want his help if we love Jesus enough to die for him. And being in the position that I am now in, I learned some things later on this week that this message kind of addresses, and I want all of you to know God gave me this message Monday and Tuesday before I knew anything. So if you're thinking, oh boy, you know, she listened to me and she's saying what I would like to hear her say, God gave it to me Monday and Tuesday, and you're getting it on Sunday, but it's nothing that I heard, nothing that I know. If we refuse to die to self, to put to death ungodly things in us, we're going to die physical death. We keep on refusing to love Jesus enough to give up self, we're going to die in sin. We're going to end up dying in sin. Physical death and spiritual death, and that death is forever. It's forever. If you love Jesus enough to die for him, you're lost in love for him. And I'm taking you one of my favorite scriptures, and you'll probably hear it many times if I get many times a chance to share it with you. And that is Galatians 2:20, and I say you need to get up in the morning, turn your Bible to Galatians 2:20, and consider yourself sitting in the electric chair. Consider yourself sitting in the electric chair and repeat these words. I have been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you willing to be lost in love for Jesus? To give up all that you have materially, if that's what was needed or what God asked, to ignore what others say or think. Your worship of Him will come first, and to die to your sinful nature so Jesus can shine in your life. Lost in love, I trust that God will take this message and bless it to you. I need to have my Bible with me to serve communion. I don't really have to be this careful, but I am this careful because I don't want to take any chances. I praise the Lord that I have good health and am able to up and down stairs, but I don't push the issue. Amen. Amen. If we could have